This is The Cutting Room Floor, with your hosts, Eric and Alex. The Cutting Room Floor features discussions that contain spoilers. Listener discretion is advised.
Tobias listens to a day's worth of his own words to see what Michael was referring to.
Even if it means me taking a chubby, I will suck it up.
Nothing wrong with that.
Oh, I've been in the film business for a while, but I just can't seem to get one in the can.
Out of context.
I wouldn't mind kissing that man between the cheeks, so to speak.
And he realizes there is something distinct about the way he speaks.
Tobias, you blow hard.
Hi, welcome back to The Cutting Room Floor. I'm Eric.
And I'm Alex.
In every TV show or movie, there's always a list of A-list characters. This episode is about the other guys. The B-list side characters who are there for comic relief or character motivation and are good in small doses, but like any drug, can be dangerous in large amounts. It can also lead to character overdoses. By the way, The Cutting Room Floor does not endorse drug taking of any time or prescribed or otherwise.
Exactly. Don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs.
Stay in school.
Yes. But there are a lot of times that these characters can become breakout characters and join the main cast. An example of this would be Andy from Parks and Rec.
Yeah. Yep. But I never felt that he was best served in small doses.
Yeah. So, yeah, we will be talking about side characters. Just to give a little more background on one of the greatest internet information-gathering places of all time, Wikipedia.
Whoop! Donate to Wikipedia today. This solicitation was not paid for.
A supporting character is a character in a narrative that that is not focused on by the primary storyline, but appears or is mentioned in the story enough to be more than just a minor character or a cameo appearance. Sometimes supporting characters may develop a complex backstory of their own, but this is usually in relation to the main character, rather than entirely independently. In television, supporting characters may appear in more than half of the episodes per season. In some cases, especially in ongoing material, such as comic books, television series, supporting characters themselves may become main characters in a spin-off if they are significantly popular with fans.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect.
So, yeah. We got a couple lists of people here.
Yeah.
So why don't we start with Dr. John Zoidberg from Futurama.
Your music's bad and you should feel bad.
Poor Zoidberg.
Poor Zoidberg.
He is the character that everyone makes fun of.
Right, yeah, he just gets crapped on constantly.
He gets crapped on constantly. And, yeah, he's funny and small. Like, the whole, one art, please.
Right,
like,
yeah.
That's hilarious.
Right.
But, yeah, some of his more Zoidberg episodes
right.
have been kind of like,
yeah, like, well, one of the things I had here was, like, when he has, like, B or even C plots, like, those usually come off well. Like, because they don't, they take up a small portion of the episode. Yeah. I think those usually come across well. But, yeah, when he's the main focus of an episode, I have, like, and don't get me wrong, when it comes to Futurama characters, my favorites probably go Bender and then Zoidberg. Uh-huh. You know? So, but, like, anything that Zoidberg-centric, I tend to either just skip over or I just, like, trudge through.
Yeah. I tend to find, I like him, I think, a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I can understand. Like, I was watching the Home Planet episode a little while ago. Where they go back to his home planet.
Decapod 10?
Yeah.
Is that when he's going there for mating season?
Yes. Yeah. And, like, there were some funny little bits. Uh-huh. There were funny bits
right.
in that.
Like, I think if any, like, Zoidberg-centric episode, that's the one that I can deal with the best.
Gotcha.
So.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, yeah, some of, he's good in small doses, but
right.
if they had, like, more, this is only about Zoidberg, it's
right.
like.
Well, like, the episode That's Lobstertainment, oh, I can't even do it. Like, it's just, I mean, it's got funny bits in it.
But, yeah.
But it's lower tier of anything I enjoy mm-hmm. watching on a Futurama.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead. Did you have anything else on Zoidberg?
No.
Okay. I was just going to say, my favorite bits are just where he appears and says something ridiculous, you know?
Woo!
Right. like, there's the bit where he, says that he learned about the nasal system from a medicine commercial, and then later rides in on a sperm and Parasite's Lost. Like, just, they're like quick little things that you're like, okay, that was pretty funny. Or in the Da Vinci Code, where he mentions that his PhD, like, you find out his the reason he's a doctor is because he has a PhD in art history, you know? And then there's a Silence of the Clamps, where he's kind of like frustrated because Clamps joins the team and has similar pincers, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
At the end, they suggest cutting the pizza, and he's like, I'm gonna do this. I'm
John Zoidberg!
It's so random that it's like, okay, like, that's the perfect dose of Zoidberg.
Yeah.
So,
keeping along with Futurama, I think Hermes Conrad
mm-hmm.
is another one.
Number 1.0. I hereby petition you for an emergency sort and file under Regulation 2.0.
Don't quote me, regulations. I co-chaired the committee that reviewed the recommendation to revise the color of the book that regulation's in. We kept it gray.
Hermes-related episodes mm-hmm. are, I'm like, eh. Like,
right.
The first one, like, how he
requisitioned his groove back. Yeah, I'm that like, one's pretty funny.
That one's pretty funny, but, like, and the little beef he has with Barbados Slim.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, okay, that's pretty funny.
That's the same episode, though, right?
Is that the same episode?
I think it might be. I'm not 100%. No, maybe not.
It might be a later episode.
Right.
But, like, yeah, the one where the $6 million man episode, mm-hmm. like, that's also a very Zoidberg-heavy episode, too.
Right.
Where he keeps, like, becoming half-machine. I'm just
right.
like, okay, come on.
Right.
It's just...
Yeah.
Get through this episode.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, Hermes is just one of those characters where I just don't think there's enough content really there for him. He's kind of more of a normal-ish character.
Yeah.
That he kind of...
He's a government, like,
yeah,
employee.
He's a bureaucrat.
He's a bureaucrat.
Yeah. He just kind of comes across as... for a whole episode... Or multi-episodes based purely on him, he's just kind of boring.
He's boring to watch.
Yeah. I mean, another great example is just, like, he's funny when he has, like, these silly lines. Like, it's the one where they go camping, and Fry is looking for Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got, like, this roll of paper, and it looks like a toilet paper roll. He's like, if anybody needs me, I'm going to be taking care of some business behind that tree. And then you see him, and he's literally sitting behind a tree with, like, a calculator. And it's, like, one of those, like, rolls.
Oh.
You know, like, the calculator, like, old school calculator rolls. Uh-huh. And he's, like, literally doing business behind a tree.
That's funny.
So, it's just funny, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I agree. Like, those little bits where you see him.
Yeah.
Like, and he throws in some funny line related to, like, the business of Planet Express.
Yeah.
Rather than whole episodes devoted to it or... Funny.
I'm going to jump. No, don't do it. Don't do it. You have so much to live for. Do a flip!
Bender. That's one of my favorite memes. Going around is just you see that and do a flip.
Well, I think one of the other, like, he said in small bits, like, I liked the part where, like, he's sitting there and, like, they're at the ski resort and he's getting ready to do the bobsled thing. And,
uh-huh.
and Zoidberg's like, you're a bobsledder? He's like, yeah. I'm not only Olympic limbo champion,
right.
but I'm also this, and then, like, Fry's like, yeah, wasn't there, like, back in my century, there was a group of Jamaicans who, like, they were bobsled people, and,
right.
but as I seem to recall, they basically lost, and then they basically, like, just became drunks, and all this other stuff. A true example for the children, or something. And then he ends up getting upside down and sliding down the thing, and because
mm-hmm.
Zoidberg, like, and Cypress, ha ha ha, laughing, and then he slips. Ah, and he falls after him, and Fry's like, ah, what the heck? And he just dives in, and goes down the bobsled.
Ah, Fry.
That's
funny.
So he's a normal character. He's
right.
kind of boring. Oh, I would say even Professor Zoidberg's clone.
Oh, Hubert.
Hubert.
Oh, you mean Professor Farnworth?
Yeah, Farnworth.
Hubert. Yeah, Hubert-centric episodes. Other than, like, the initial one where you meet him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I don't care.
I don't care.
Yeah. But he is funny in those, in those small little shots where he, you know, says something ridiculous or whatever. He's, like, a good foil for Hermes' son.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's that episode where they compete against the Planet Express crew. It's, like, really focused on them, and it's just kind of boring.
Jiro, ready the men. We're leaving.
My men aren't going anywhere with you. Look at them. How powerful can they be? They are running away from Kenobi.
Filth. You will pay for your insolence.
Insolence? We are pirates. We don't even know what that means. Open fire. If we kill those two, their riches will be ours.
Hondo Ohnaka,
uh-huh,
from the Star Wars Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah.
This guy, when I first met him, plus, I think he's the same voice actor who did the voice of a character, of a villain on Tailspin back in the 90s.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but.
But there's a good chance you're right.
Yeah, no, but, like, the way that, like, you first meet, the guy is a smuggler,
mm-hmm,
and a pirate. You just can't help but, like, love the guy.
Right,
because
of
his one-up things, and he's just like, what? You lied to me?
Right.
I knew there was a reason I liked you.
yeah. yeah, I always felt that Hondo was really handled well in the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
If he was around, like, more, he would have been grating,
I think. Oh, yes, he would have been very grating.
But, you know, he's in a few arcs or episodes, even.
Yeah.
And he's handled with care. I think, like, they realize this guy could be too much,
mm-hmm,
but, you know, they used him just enough that you can break the tension,
mm-hmm,
but that he can be, like, he can be a pivotal character, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
And he also stays true to his character. Like, I remember when I was watching it, one episode, he's helping Anakin and Ahsoka and Obi-Wan, right, like, with this thing. Two episodes later, he attacks Ahsoka's ship.
Right.
And, like, to, like, steal Kyber crystals.
Right, yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, he's,
and,
whatever,
like, and takes her prisoner.
Yeah, he's like, it's nothing personal, or, you know, but, yeah, that's right. It's just, he's kind of, like, whatever's advantageous to him at, mm-hmm, the time. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They treated very carefully with him.
Right.
And he didn't overstay his welcome.
Right. And I don't recall seeing him in Rebels, so how did they handle him there?
He has been in, they're now in the fourth season, he has been in one episode of season 3.
Okay.
And I think he was introduced back into the show in season 2. I think there's been, he was introduced in an episode, like 3-4 episodes tops.
So they've handled him with care.
Yeah, still, like, he was introduced. He and Ezra have a, like, solo mission.
Okay.
4-5, yeah. He's not in very many.
Okay. So just handle about the same way.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, same showrunners and everything.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Okay. Well, that's really cool, though. I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
Well, what about that tattoo on your chest? Doesn't it say Die, Bart, Die?
No, that's German for the Bart, the.
No one who speaks German could be an evil man.
Sideshow Bob's one I have a little bit of a harder time with now, I think.
With newer episodes of him?
Well, I think in part it's just because of the longevity of The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Like, the old episodes where he's in, you know, he's great. I just feel like the allure of the character is kind of,
yeah, because, like, now don't they have, like, they introduced his brother in, uh-huh, like, one of, like, probably his last really good one.
Right.
And then, like, didn't they introduce, like, his whole family or something?
I haven't watched past that part.
I think they did. They introduced his whole family, right, and, like, they're trying to go after the whole Simpsons family and, right, like, just kill them or whatever.
It's like, what's, like, the point, you know?
Yeah, what's the point?
Yeah, I mean, Bob is a great character. I think it's just, I mean, The Simpsons has been on, what, almost 30 years now?
Yes.
I mean, so it's just, like,
it's a parody of itself.
Right, it's just going back into the well over and over again with, mm-hmm, you know, this great character. That it's just kind of, eh, you know, like, you just don't really care anymore,
mm-hmm,
is kind of the thing.
Yeah.
So, that's my thought.
No, those are my thoughts, too. You don't, like, I haven't seen anything, but like I said, you know, it's like in season 15, they like introduced his family.
Right. And I mean,
they're
like,
also a bunch of psychopaths.
Right. Like his brother, you can kind of get behind. Like, okay, cool. Like, that's maybe check that out. But yeah, like, I don't have any desire to meet his whole family.
Yeah.
That just seems excessive. And
like, I remember when that episode premiered, the trailer for it, like, I thought it was Bob,
mm-hmm.
that he, like, cut his hair.
Oh, okay.
And, like, he was in disguise. And then I watched episodes, like, no, he has a brother.
Oh, yeah. The initial one.
The initial
brother.
One,
okay.
Yeah,
okay.
With the brother.
I mean, that's maybe pushing the limit, but passable. But
yeah.
His whole family is just, that's kind of ridiculous.
And he, like, goes back to, like, in that episode, he goes, like, he kind of, he doesn't redeem himself, but he does at the same time.
Right,
he's
yeah.
trying to be like,
yeah,
start
they,
a new life.
They blame everything on Bob because he's the one with the past.
Yeah, with,
yeah.
With the criminal.
Even though he tries to, yeah, he actually ends up trying to save Bart.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
But then like, yeah, then I guess later on they're like, he's back to being evil.
Right, yeah. Because I mean, that's really a whole character arc of somebody who has this whole
vendetta.
Yeah, vendetta and focus on revenge against Bart. Only to come around and save him, you know,
mm-hmm.
and kind of maybe move on from it. And then, okay, no, let's just have his whole family go after it. Yeah, it just seems weird.
It's dumb.
Yeah. So I think they keep mining it.
Yeah.
And it's like, at some point, it just gets old.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's a great example of a character who's overused.
I don't have anyone to go with anyway.
Can you imagine how jealous that would make her?
Where's Tobias?
Oh, he's just sharing a romantic horseback ride with Michael Bluth, and they're dipping each other in... Oh, you didn't get any body chocolate.
I didn't mean with me. I hate to see a struggle like this. In fact, why don't you let me ask her for you?
Well, Michael, you really are quite the Cupid, aren't you? I tell you, you can zing your arrow into my buttocks anytime.
Tobias Funke from Arrested Development. I think that Tobias is a perfect example of a character best used sparingly. Not as he can be part of the A plot, but not like the driving force.
Yeah.
Because a lot of jokes surrounding Tobias are similar. It's like he's a failure as an actor. He obliviously spouts ridiculous, self-incriminating double entendres.
Mm-hmm.
Is he gay? Is he not? Who knows, you know?
Yeah.
And so they're great jokes that are used, you know, sparingly. Or even, like, you know, once an episode or whatever, you know, he says something that's like, why would you say that, you know?
Yeah.
But when he's the primary character, it just doesn't work. Because, like, those little bits, he has, like, he steals the show.
Yeah.
You know, he's fantastic in that form. But
mm-hmm.
given the spotlight, he just, I don't think, works. The defining, like, crowning moment of that, of, like, proving that is the fourth season.
Mm-hmm. Which I haven't seen because I've heard it was just...
Yeah. You know, He gets, I think, like, not one, but two episodes
devoted
strictly to him. And I think you see Lindsay and maybe, and Michael. Like, Lindsay, it kind of goes into their backstory a little bit. Then she's gone. And you see maybe just a little bit, and a little bit of interaction with Michael and Lucille.
Mm-hmm.
But Tobias is, like, the focus, and it doesn't work, because these jokes that are funny in an episode, they just don't work.
As a full episode.
Yeah, not only that, because it was the Netflix model where they don't have the time restrictions.
Ah.
Like, the episodes are longer.
Oh.
So it's like 27 to 30 minutes of Tobias. It's just like, I just don't... I don't need that much Tobias. Nobody
no.
was asking for that much Tobias,
no,
you know?
No,
And the thing is, his character is so extreme that he's not relatable to most people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it's hard to watch him and be that invested in what's going on.
Yeah, I agree. He's good in small little one-liner bits.
Mm-hmm.
Full 30 minutes devoted to him, no.
Yeah. The other ones that I had were Tammy Too and John Ralphio Saperstein from Parks and Rec.
Tommy T, you just missed the craziest of crazies. Clubs, girls, dancing, naked, mom, argument, police, fleeing the scene, hiding in a dumpster, coming here, crashing on your couch for a week because technically I'm homeless. Hey, mustache, I'm gonna hit the couch. You know where I be.
And I think these are characters that are actually used really well
mm-hmm.
for... being side characters.
Yeah.
So Tammy Swanson, a.k.a. Tammy 2, the second of Ron Swanson's wives named Tammy, although this one is portrayed by Nick Offerman's real-life wife, Megan Mullally, is used in just 9 episodes of Parks and Rec's 7-season run.
Okay.
So she does have some episodes kind of focused around her, both the Ron and Tammy and Ron and Tammy 2 mm-hmm. episodes are focused fairly on her. But so the thing with her is, like, she's got, like, this just completely sex-crazed personality. Mm-hmm. And if she were a regular character, it would be way too much.
Yeah.
Like, but her infrequent appearances are funny, and her antics are, even though they're extreme, they're funny.
Yeah.
When you do see her. And thankfully, they don't overuse her
yeah.
for that reason. So, because it would just be way too much.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you just watched the Ron and Tammy 2 episode.
Yeah.
That, I think, is almost pushing it with how much Tammy 2 is acceptable.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
with how much screen time she gets.
Yeah.
So, the other one is John Ralphio, Tom Haverford's just inept and ridiculous friend. And he gets more, I think, screen time than Tammy 2 and has multi-episode arcs involving Tom's businesses. But he's handled well. He's never, like...
He's a super loud dude. No, no, no. He's the business guy who's like, we're gonna do this, you know?
Yeah. Okay. But he has no clue what he's doing.
Gotcha,
and
okay.
His family's fairly wealthy, so he doesn't have any real job or anything.
Gotcha, okay.
And he occasionally breaks into song.
Okay.
So, yeah. Got run over by a Lexus! So, he's never overplayed, but he usually steals the scenes he's in, I think, mm-hmm. and just is just ridiculously over the top, but mm-hmm. works well in that kind of small, appearance type thing, so.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on the topic, or?
Yeah, it's good when they're done well.
Right.
There are people who, the fans love this person, let's just
shove them right up to the front.
Yeah, and it's like, why did you do that?
Right.
Why?
Looking at you, Michelle, from Full House. No, I'm just
kidding. Or like, I didn't ever watch it, but like, you know, Steve Urkel.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Everyone remembers Steve Urkel.
Right.
Even though he was part of, what was it, Family Matters?
He was a spin-off character, right? Wasn't he?
I think he was I don't know.
Family Matters was, I think, the show that he starred in.
He starred in.
Yeah, but then I think gave him he a was spin-off. Introduced in a different show.
Oh, okay.
And it spun off from there.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But yeah, like, the shtick with that's kind of, yeah, it gets old fast.
Yeah. Well, then there's the whole, like, well, this is a main character. But sorry, Big Bang fans.
Right. Theory,
but then there's the whole, let's do a show about young Sheldon. Because
right.
everybody loves Sheldon.
Right. Yep.
Right.
Yeah,
other than that, I don't have any other thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, I think we've covered some characters here that, you know, there's some that are, they're handled really well, like Hondo or John Ralphio, but there's others that, yeah, I don't think, like, you know, what we see of Tobias, like, the fourth season doesn't diminish his earlier appearances. Like,
yeah,
he's still
yeah.
a great character. It's just there's an example there of where they took something great and pushed it too far.
Yeah.
And went too far with it, so.
Yeah.
The next thing we're going to talk about is, we're going to start talking about, we're not doing, like, a series of episodes where we're talking about the Indiana Jones films. We'll just talk about them, I think, when we feel like it, man. But, we're going to start it with, most people start with Raiders of the Lost Ark, which makes sense because that was the first film released, but chronologically speaking, Temple of Doom occurs first
yeah.
in the continuity, so we're going to start with that one.
Thank you for listening to The Cutting Room Floor. Please subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. You can email us at thecuttingroomfloorpodcast@gmail.com.